Welcome to 2020. It's been an unusual year, hasn't it? And I know that, you know, we can fuss about it and say all the negative things about it, but the one thing I'm very glad of in 2020 is that I know the Lord and have confidence that the Lord has been present with all of us who know Him throughout this year. And regardless of what the rest of this year holds, God will hold us. Amen. And He'll be present in it. And we've got some exciting things ahead of us in 2020. I don't know if you've thought about that, but I'm just glad I know the Lord. And that's going to kind of direct my speaking and preaching this morning. I want to be an encouragement to you just about who our God is. And even in the midst of where we find ourselves, we are secure in Him. So I would ask you to turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And I'm simply going to speak to you for a few moments here during Sunday school on why fret. Why fret? Notice in verse 1 of Psalm 37, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this time to bring your word. And Lord, we are gathered here today because we really are needy people. Father, we need for your Holy Spirit to speak to us truth from your word. And then encourage us, and Lord, where we need to be convicted, challenge us. But Lord, I pray that this would be a purposeful and profitable time in studying your word. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible addresses this subject of fretting because believers do a lot of it. Several times in these first 9 verses, we are told by David, stop fretting. Don't fret. And if you're anything like me, when I hear that, I say, okay, and 36 seconds later, I remind myself, you shouldn't be fretting, okay? It really is just kind of natural to us, but that is the key word. What is natural to us, we do not have to be slaves to. And because the Lord lives within us, we can defeat this thought or this concept of fretting. When we think of the word fret, we think of someone being nervous or anxiety or being worried. And without question, it does contain that thought. It is worrying, fretting over something that we can't control. But I want you to understand, in this context, it's not just the thought of worrying over something, but it brings something else to our lives. It changes our attitude. David, if you notice in verse 8, he's talked about fretting, right? But notice what he says in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. If we're not careful, our anxiety can make us angry. If we're not careful, our worry can make us act in ways that are not godly, that are not helpful to the situation. And the word means literally to blaze up. Fret means to blaze up. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I get anxious, I may speak words, impatient words, because I'm anxious about something. If I'm worrying about something and somebody says something to me that is contrary to my spirit of worry, I may speak harshly to them or answer them without much thought. And so what David is saying is this: be careful, because worrying and anxiety and fretting over the things that you observe in our world or that you're experiencing in your life, anxiety and worry can change how you respond to people and how you react to people and how you relate to people. So it's bigger than just something eating at us in the inside. That's bad enough. But because it's eating at us in the outside, in the inside, it changes how we react on the outside, and we need to be very, very careful about that. So I want you to consider some things about that. If any person experienced fretful experiences, it is David. And I think it's important for us to understand a little context or the time that he's writing this. I do not think that David wrote Psalm 37 as a young man. I think he wrote Psalm 37 as an old man looking back. And I think he might be addressing himself and saying to himself, why in the world did I worry about that? Why in the world did I let so upset me? Because God always dealt with the evildoers. God always worked out the situation. Now, it's easy to look back and see that. It's not as easy to be in the moment and say, somewhere down the road, I'll say, God took care of that. But that's what David is teaching us. David is saying, you know, I wanted to get angry at Saul when he was chasing me into caves, but God took care of that. I really wanted to get angry with Shimei when he cursed me, but God took care of that. And he's saying to us, learn a great lesson, that the things that tear you up, the things that make you anxious, the things that make you worry, if you'll do this and this and this and this, you will realize God will take care of that. Now, notice some things about what causes us to fret. Let me mention three things that I think cause believers to fret. Number one, things that we deem unfair in life. Things that we deem unfair in life. Again, look at verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. We look at how other people live, and we say, how do they get away with that? Why does this happen to this good person, but this doesn't happen to that evil person? I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of bringing this message because of the context of where we are in 2020. And I listen to the news until I've had enough, and then I swear off of it for a week because it literally, it makes me angry. And when I see people advancing lies, when I see people advancing that which we know is wrong and approving that which is wrong, if we're not careful, we can look at that and just live our lives angry at what is happening. Even the prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament had a real issue with this, and I'll refer to him again. When he looked at how it appeared that Babylon was prospering and Israel, Judah, was suffering, and he cried out to the Lord, why is it that this wicked people can prosper while your people are suffering? If we're honest, it does seem to us at times like the wicked prosper. We first fret because we see it on our national stage. Life, remember this statement, life always plays out the way God says it will. Life always plays out the way God says it will. And as we look at our scene and as we see truth trampled in the streets, our reaction is to get angry and think that our carnal strength or wisdom can fix that, and to be tempted to fight that with carnal weapons. And you and I need to resist that, because life always plays out like God says it will. And the truth is, He will judge sin. He will avenge truth. He will avenge His honor. And He does not need for you and I to do that. Now, don't hear me say that we should not live righteously in an unrighteous generation. We should. Don't hear me say that we should not call attention to truth and expose lies. But what I am saying to you is that if we're not careful, we become as angry as those who are opposing truth. And we become as out of control as those who are opposing truth. And God says, wait a minute, don't fret yourself because of evildoers. I see it. I know it. I know it seems unfair, but I'm dealing with it, and God always works life out like He says it will. Illustration. Lazarus, and he's out sitting outside the door of a rich man, and he is suffering. And the rich man occasionally throws a coin into his can. And you know the story. The rich man dies, Lazarus dies, the rich man lifts up his eyes in heaven, and he now sees the truth. But he is in the flames, and where's Lazarus? Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. You say, preacher, what's your point? My point is, it always plays out like God says it will. And as believers, and as Bible believers, we are on the right side, and sometimes it appears like the other side is prospering, but I'm telling you, like David, who stood back one day and said, worked out like God said it was going to work out. We will have that moment in our existence. Don't get caught up where you are right now thinking, well, that's unfair and it'll never work out. Here's number two, closely associated with it. Pardon me. What makes us fret? When it appears that God is not working. When it appears that God is not working the way we want God to work. Sometimes it's not apparent to us what God is doing, and we assume He is doing nothing at all or doing the wrong thing. Habakkuk cried again. He said, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry?" Now, in that, I hear Habakkuk saying, Lord, it's about time you do what I told you to do. God works on His own time, not ours. Can I remind you that Lazarus died and Jesus waited 4 days before He went? And Mary and Martha were both convinced that God made a mistake, because they both met Jesus when He came and said, if you'd have done what we asked, if you'd have been listening to our prayer and responded to what we knew was right, you'd have come 4 days ago and you'd have healed him before he died or before we rolled the stone in front of the tomb. But now you've waited 4 days and he stinketh. And oh, by the way, Lazarus got up. Because God's timing is always right. And sometimes when we look at a circumstance, we say, where is God? Oh Lord, how long are you going to make us cry? Oh God, how long are circumstances going to be what we don't like? How long are you going to seemingly abandon us? And then we quote, He will never leave or forsake us. And the answer is, He never leaves or forsakes us. He has not abandoned us now. And He will work when He is ready to work and when it is right to work. Get this. With God, timing is much more important than time. Can I say it again? With God, timing is much more important than time. Because what God is doing is working on circumstances. He is preparing hearts. He is doing things and working things beyond our sight. He is changing hearts, changing circumstances, and then in His time, He will work. Get this. With God, our character is more important than our comfort. With God, our character is more important than our comfort. And often, when we think God is being inactive, He is incredibly working on us. Illustrate. The three Hebrew children were standing on the plain of Dura, and I think they were standing with hundreds or thousands of other Hebrews. And they were instructed that when they heard the sound of the music, they were to bow to that image of Nebuchadnezzar. And the music sounds, and the three Hebrew children stand. And by the way, around them, they hear the sound of many other people bowing. They're arrested. They're taken out of that crowd, and they are walked to a furnace that has been heated seven times hot. And God allows them to be thrown into that furnace. Now, can I tell you my human perspective? Hey, listen, you and I live with the benefit of knowing the rest of the story. They did not. Can I just tell you the truth? I would have wanted to stand, and I hope that I would have stood. And as I'm standing and as they're coming to get me from the midst of all the other bowed down people, I would pray and say, Lord, do you see? Lord, did you notice we stood and now they're coming to get us? And as they put us in chains, I would be saying, oh God, would you work? Oh God, how long before you work? Oh God, they're marching me towards the furnace. Oh God, I'm feeling the heat. Lord, would you work? Father, they're throwing me in the furnace. Hey. Now here's all I'm saying. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew something about God that they'd have never known about God walking out of that furnace, that they'd have never learned had God delivered them on that plain of Dura and stop them from being arrested. Not one second of it was pleasant. Not one second of it was filled with the confidence that it was all going to be okay. I'm sure they were anxious. But God was interested in their character, not their comfort. I could say the same thing about Daniel. Daniel arrested for praying. God, you see what I'm being arrested for, right? God, you do understand I was obeying you. I was being obedient and I want to be faithful to you. And God, you do see that I was arrested for praying, and now they are threatening me with a lion's den. And all the way up to the lion's den, he's saying, King, and the king is saying, Dan. They actually liked each other, but it was written. And you can see Daniel as he's being lowered into the lion's den, perhaps thinking to himself, oh Lord, do you see? But Daniel knew something about God that he never could have learned had he not been lowered into that lion's den and seen God close the mouths of those lions. Now try to apply that to our circumstances. I don't want COVID for sure, okay? But I'm going to go a step further. I don't want to live. I'm glad I'm alive in 2020, but I wouldn't have chosen these circumstances for my life, would you? I was just rocking along fine. I was having a good time in 2020 till about March. I wouldn't want some of the circumstances that I have for my life. Ma'am, can I tell you something? I love cortisone as much as you do. I've had two cortisone shots. In my shoulder the last 2 weeks. I've had cortisone in my back, in my knees. Cortisone and me are just buddies. I wouldn't choose that for myself. I know you wouldn't choose that for yourself either. I wouldn't choose the pain. But God is more interested in my character than He is my comfort. Look, the Apostle Paul and he says, hey, I've got a thorn in the flesh. God, would you please take it away? And God says, I'm more interested in your character than your comfort. And you and I have to be reminded of that, that when we come to situations in life that make us anxious and worry, and we ask God, where are you? Why aren't you working? God's answer is, I am. I'm working on your character. And in the end, you will see my good hand in your life. Quickly, we get frustrated when we are not understanding of God's ways. And we have to see that God is always active. I'm going to hasten on. What are the alternatives to our fretting? What are the alternatives? Well, David says, and again, David had experience with being worried. You don't wake up in a cave with an army outside the cave hunting for you and not be a little concerned. So he says to us, hey, fret not. Let me give you a prescription, he says, for not fretting. In verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Completely allow the Lord to direct your life. The word trust speaks of a complete confidence. And the word picture is of coming into a place, pardon me, a place of refuge. A month or so, 2 months ago, I had the opportunity, a man from the church that I pastored for so long took myself and four others off of Cape Cod. We went up to Cape Cod and went out into the Atlantic Ocean. And we went flounder fishing out in the middle of the ocean. And we caught a lot of flounder. But on the first day that we went, we were in 5-foot seas. Yeah, you ever been in 5-foot seas? I had not. And I'm in a boat that I don't know exactly how big it was, but I don't think it was more than 40 or 50 feet long, maybe not quite that long. And can I be honest with you? I was fretting. I have never been in seas like that. I have never been rocked like that. And I opted for myself. I'm not going on the back of that boat and try to hold on to a pole. The captain finally said, this is too much. We're going to head back in. And I can remember going from the 5-foot seas into that where the break was and there was a protection. And it was unbelievable how just going from that to behind that break, and now you're in the harbor, and now there's hardly any waves, and you just rest. Now, that's what that word indicates. You are in turmoil in your life. Everything is up and down. Everything topsy-turvy. And David says to us, listen, that's how all the world is all the time. There's always going to be something. What you need to do is learn to walk inside the harbor and trust the Lord. And when we trust the Lord and allow Him to direct us and know that He is directing us, even in the midst of that turbulence, we can be confident and we can be calm. He adds this, not only trust the Lord, but in the face of trusting the Lord, do good. Do good. Doing good in the face of trouble indicates that I'm trusting the Lord with my problem. Here's what the Lord is saying is don't make your own way. Don't take matters into your own hand. When things are rough, when things are difficult, trust the Lord, harbor in the Lord, and continue to do what you were doing before the storm came. And again, I'm not trying to be silly in this, but preacher, what should we be doing in 2020? Reading our Bibles, tithing and giving, trying to be a witness when we're allowed, go to church, be safe when we go to church. Well, what do you mean, preacher? I mean in the midst of the storm, do good. Do what you're supposed to do. So many believers have allowed the storm to disrupt everything they did that was right. And to be honest with you, I think we're going to see somewhat of a falling away because people are not going to go back to what they should have never left off doing. So in the midst of a storm, in the midst of anxiety and fretting, trust God and keep doing what is right. Then David says this, delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Hey, most of the time when I read verse 4, my concentration is, he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Yeah, I like that part. But I can't leave off the first part. Delight thyself in the Lord. We need a source of joy that will withstand any storm and is not jeopardized by any storm. That word delight means to make merry over. I am to make merry over the Lord. What's that mean? My joy is to come from the Lord. If you will, the happiness that my life, and I know happy is a different word, but the happiness that I experience is to be derived from my walk with the Lord. And so I ask you this morning, is the Lord your happiness? Is your joy derived from your time in His Word? To be honest with you, most people do not dwell long enough in the Lord to know if it's a joy or not. But especially in anxious times, you and I ought to carve time out to make ourselves be quiet, to make ourselves study the Word and allow the Word to minister to us. And what we will find is that if we'll trust the Lord and go to His Word, it can actually bring us joy. It can be the source of our joy and the desires of thine heart. Now, can I offer something here? Sometimes when we read the desires of thine heart, our mind goes immediately to where our minds go. Oh, a red Corvette. Oh, a new house. Oh, this. Oh, that. And our mind goes to the physical. But what's the context of this psalm? The context of this psalm is we're tore up inside. The context of this psalm is we're anxious, we're worried. And David says, man, there were days when I didn't know I was going to live. There were days when I didn't know how I was going to feed myself or my men or my family. There were days that I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. And I trusted the Lord and I made Him my delight and He gave me the desire of my heart. Peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. Hey, what do you want in 2020? I want to have a peaceful day. I want to feel reassured. I want to have confidence. I want to know I'm okay. Hey, that's the desire of thine heart that you can have from resting in the Lord, from studying the Word of God, from communing with the Lord. Here's number 3. Commit your way unto the Lord. Look at verse 5. What's an antidote to fretting? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. The literal meaning of that word commit is to roll together, to roll your life into the Lord's way, into the Lord's life. And it's not as simple as it seems. Illustration. The people of Israel, Judah, have been carried off into Babylon. And there in Babylon, Jeremiah, the great weeping prophet, preaches to them, build houses in Babylon. Build houses and go about your life and go about your job in Babylon. And stop longing for and guiding your life and letting your attitude be, I want it how it used to be. I want to be where I used to be. Jeremiah says, you're not there. You're no longer in Jerusalem. Oh, there will always be a hope in our hearts for the place of home. But Jeremiah says, God has you here. And what we have to say to ourselves is, I don't want 2020. I don't want COVID. I don't want this election year. I don't want the turmoil that it is. I don't want it like that. I want it the way it used to be. And we can live our lives wanting it the way it used to be and anxious because it's not and fretting because it's not. Or we can say, Lord, you got me here. And I'm going to commit my way to you here. And I'm going to follow your direction here. I'm going to trust in you here. I'm going to delight myself in your word and your ways here. And God, you've put me here, and I'm going to allow you to bless me here. I'm going to roll my life into what you've given me and where you have me. And then finally, notice verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. That word rest, literally, be silent. Ouch. Be silent. Don't complain. Don't criticize. Don't blame. Just rest. You know why we're here, don't you? We're here because it's the CDC's fault. You know why we're experiencing what we're... It's the Democrats' fault. No, it's the Republicans' fault. You know why we're here. Well, because of what they did and what that happened and this that happened. And we can live complaining and criticizing and angry. Hey, you know why we're here? Simple answer. Our nation turned its back against God. Our nation. This man. And this is where God has us. And we can complain, and we can criticize, and we can get angry, and we can wish it were different, or we can trust the Lord. We can delight ourselves in the Lord. We can rest in the Lord. We can continue to do what God wants us to do and to do good in the word, in the world. And when God is ready, God will bring us relief, and God will reveal to us, like David, stay with me, I'm almost done. Why did I worry off stuff all the time? Why did I fret and let that make me angry? Why did I do that? When God all along was working, he was making me to be a better man, he was doing what he wanted to accomplish in this world, why did I live fretting? Here's how I put it, and I'm done. I used to go hunting. I don't anymore because I got titanium knees and I'm an old man. But I used to love to get in a tree and hunt deer. And I say that, but can I tell you the truth? I would get in that deer at 4:30 or 5 in the morning and it would be about 10 degrees. And I would say to myself, why are you in this tree? And my sole desire, I could care less if a deer came by. I just wanted the sun to come up. And I wanted it to be a hot sun and warm me. And I would say to the Lord, man, they said sunrise. Was it? Where's the sun? Where's the sun? And you know what happened? God brought the sun up when the sun was supposed to come up. And all my fretting and all my wishing, all that made no difference. God was going to do it his way. God was going to do what he wanted to do. God accomplished it. Now here's all I'm saying to us and I'm done. Stop fretting. Stop being anxious. Stop allowing it to make you angry at our world, our circumstances. Our world hates God. We know that. But if we get angry, if we get so wrapped up in ourselves having our circumstances the way we want it, we'll never be the light to them and the salt to them that God put us in this circumstance to be. I'm not saying I'm happy about COVID, and I certainly hate the suffering that it has brought to people's lives, but I'm telling you, it's where God put us. And we need to trust him, and we need to delight in him, we need to rest in him, and we need to commit our lives to be used of him right where he put us. Father, we're grateful for these few minutes. Help us to see these truths in Jesus' name. Amen.